number 28, CWD update.
Chris Hall is getting the presentation loaded up, and then Chad Switzer, Program Administrator, will give you a brief update on CWD and follow up on EHD as well.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator for the Department. As Tom indicated, we've got a couple presentations here to give you an update on some wildlife diseases that we are currently working on and monitoring. The first one would be an update in regards to chronic wasting disease. And I guess this is predominantly an update in regards to the implementation of the CWD action plan that the department worked with you as a commission on in formally adopting and guiding our efforts into the future here in reference to chronic wasting disease. Next slide, Chris. Just a brief outline here of the plan or of the presentation. Again, just an update on the action plan and some modifications and the continual updates and efforts we have on our webpage. I want to again remind you and the audience, those that are listening to this presentation, just an update on our surveillance efforts from 2019, where we plan to go and efforts in regards to 2020 for testing across the state. Give you an update on some exciting news in regards to some grant money that we were successful in getting some funds obligated from a USDA grant. And then at the end, Jonna Omar, Communications Director, is going to give you an update on some of the marketing and outreach efforts that we've been working on. So next slide, Chris. So you remember it was probably a year or so ago we had worked with you as a commission to formally adopt an action plan that was presented to you, went through a rigorous public involvement process. So some of the things that was updated in here that I felt we could do as a department within the liberty of updating without formal action by the commission was just to make some adjustments to the text within the body of the plan in regards to the new regulations for carcass and transportation disposal. We updated some tables and figures to reflect the 2019 surveillance efforts. Those were some efforts that we're quite proud of in what the department did in conjunction with how hunters responded to those efforts. We revised the known CWD endemic areas. We wanted to make sure that it was as clear as possible to where those new regulations would apply. Within the plan and on our website, we spent a considerable amount of time on this, not only with biological staff, but with Jonna and her staff, in trying to put together a document that did a real good job of answering, you know, those frequently asked questions by our public, and to try to, you know, make that information available. Not that we want to minimize the amount of one-on-one contact we have with hunters or members of the public, but we do only have so much time, and we have a real good reference here for the public to go and view. Next, Chris. Again, work with Nick Harrington almost on a weekly, if not sometimes a daily basis in updating things pertaining to our website. And again, the website is kind of our clearing center for all information related to CWD. Another thing that we just recently updated, I worked with Dana Ertz here in the Pure office, and I had her reach out to all of the permitted landfills within the state. We have a map on this CWD webpage because when it comes to disposal of carcasses, landfills obviously serve a critical role in that. And what we found out, I asked her to call and try to get an estimate on what these landfills charge for a fee. And it kind of varies as it would with any businesses across the state. So we do have that data associated with the map where the hunters can go and learn where those landfills are. If their garbage hauler does not accept those parts, they can click on that dot on the map, find their hours of availability, and if we were able to obtain that information, what the fees are associated with that. And that map has changed some. Of those 25 or so that I believe are permanent to accept carcasses, around a handful of those, five or six, even though they're permitted to accept them, they do not accept carcasses. So we made that modification here within the last day or two for our hunters. Next slide, Chris. Again, just a recap here on some of the three major species in regards to CWD. You'll note just a geographic representation of where samples came in from hunters in 2019. In total there, we obtained 130 samples, with obviously a majority of those coming out of the Black Hills. Next slide, Chris. In regards to mule deer, we had 356 samples came in. Obviously, that reflects, remember that map that Andy had up where we have population objectives identified for mule deer, that reflects that area quite well. Next slide. From the whitetail perspective, we had 1,371 samples that came in. Remember, we did have some high priority surveillance areas that we really wanted to designate our focus and effort on. However, we are also working with hunters from anywhere in the state where they may harvest a deer or elk and they want that animal tested. We will obviously accommodate that request and get those samples to them. You can see, even though the Black Hills was not a priority for us, we did obviously sample quite a few critters out of the Black Hills. Chris, if you could just stop right there for a second, you don't have to go back to the first slide, but just another important update that I want to make sure you as a commission and those that listen to this are aware of. Another thing that we worked on with our wizard staff and our database department was in regards to getting test results back to hunters in a much more timely fashion. And so we worked with Ross Scott and his staff and Sean Idy with our licensing office and BIT. And we have an email system set up so when test results from a sample that is submitted to the lab at SDSU are available, not only when we get those sample results now, that hunter, if they have an email address, will get email notification at the same time our department does, and that email will indicate to that hunter that their sample test results are back. That will indicate to them to go to their hunter profile on our licensing system on our website, and there is where they will find out the test results of that animal, whether it was a suspect positive or CWD was not detected within that sample. So in addition to that, we will also make every concerted effort we can to personally get in touch with that hunter that has a sample that comes back positive. Next slide, Chris. So in summary from the results from 2019, you can see, unfortunately, we did detect CWD in 8 new counties, all of those counties residing west of the Missouri River in South Dakota. You can see where those dots represent, where those animals were harvested within those units and by what species those animals were. Next slide, Chris. On our website and information that will be going out here soon to all firearm deer hunters that hold a license within our priority surveillance areas, they will be getting information on our sampling desires. I'll get into that a little bit, but just want to indicate that these new endemic area maps are on our website now. In all of our deer and elk applications, the CWD information was made readily available right at the front page of those applications. And even by units, we indicated that CWD rules would apply for those hunters, so they were aware of that. And there was a disclaimer on the website, I believe, where that was made available to them when they applied online. So this would be for our deer hunting units. Chris, the next slide would be for our elk hunting units, where those rules and regulations would apply. So again, if you reside in one of these gray shaded areas and you do not take that animal outside of there, those new rules essentially do not apply for you. It's when you take that animal outside of a known endemic area where those transportation and disposal regulations come into effect this year. Next slide, Chris. So I apologize. This would be the map and the information that would be included in those targeted letters that will be going out to hunters here in a couple weeks. We want to get this information out to them about 3 weeks prior to the start of their hunting seasons. You'll see those gray shaded areas there are the hunting units where we have a strong desire in getting samples from those hunters. So that information will be directly sent out to them in a letter that they get in their mailbox. So next slide, Chris. To help facilitate the collection of those samples, staff have worked pretty tirelessly putting together some of the collection stations that will be made available to hunters during the West and East River deer seasons. And some areas is indicated on the map, like our GFMP offices will be made available almost at any time for the most part for hunters to provide samples. So these stations will be made available at, again, our GFMP offices. We have a couple of tribal offices that have participated in this effort. Several private businesses, whether it's gas stations to auto parts stores, have signed up to help. A few game processors and taxidermists. South Dakota Department of Transportation is, again, being very, very generous and cooperative with us in regards to placing some of these stations on some of their properties across the state and whatnot. So next slide, Chris. To help us get our hands on as many male deer or elk as possible, those older age males do carry a significant weight when it comes to the detection and probability of finding CWD within the population. So right now we have 14 taxidermists across the state. You can see those indicated by those red stars. So they will be helping us pull samples from trophy older age males, obviously with the permission of that respective hunter. But this did work out quite well for us last year, and we look for good participation from those hunters utilizing these taxidermists here again this year. Next slide, Chris. Again, we're going to be making hunter sample kits available to hunters. Last year, I believe we had around just over 105 samples come in through these kits from hunters across the state. These kits will be made available at any GFMP office. We're not probably going to be mailing these out to a lot of people, but if you're coming through Rapids, Sioux Falls, Huron, any of our offices, or even get in touch with your respective local conservation officer. If you want a kit or some kits made available for you to self-sample and utilize our submission form there, we will obviously do everything we can to get that kit into your hands. Next slide, Chris. You can go through the bullets here, Chris, sorry. So, some exciting news here. It's been quite some time since there's been some federal money available to state wildlife agencies when it comes to management and surveillance efforts related to CWD. USDA did announce late this summer that there was going to be $3.5 million made available to states and other entities in regards to CWD management, surveillance, and testing. Timing of our action plan was quite well. A lot of the objectives that we identified mirrored very well with the intent and objectives of the grant requirements for this funding. We submitted an application predominantly for to help offset the cost of our surveillance and testing efforts, and then to enhance a lot of our marketing and outreach efforts to our hunters and the public. We were notified that we were successful with nearly $225,000 with no federal no non-federal match required. So that'll be a big boost to our CWD efforts. As a result of this, this will help free up some other federal aid dollars that the department can utilize and state license dollar revenue on other department priorities. So we're pretty excited to get that funding. So next slide, Chris, and I will turn this over to John Ohm, our communications director.
Good morning, everyone. Chairman Jensen, Secretary Hepler, commissioners. Chris, can you please click through all these bullets here? Thank you. So you can see our webpage, that the web address there that Chad has already talked a little bit about. Our views are good here, but I would like to draw your attention especially to the time spent on these pages. We're averaging 5 minutes in most cases, and on the main landing page, 2.5 minutes. That means people are reading what's there, absorbing it, taking it in, and so connecting with the information so that it's a useful outreach. Direct emails are being sent consistently. We have approximately 80,000 email addresses that we are able to reach, and we have a 33% open rate on that, which is great. That's about 26,000 opens, but that's not enough yet. It's a good outreach, but we need to layer these activities. Next slide, please. And so we are adding a direct mailing in addition to these online efforts, because we have a very specific list. We have good addresses for these folks, and we know that they are interested in this information. So that makes direct mail a good touch point for this effort. And so we've planned this drop in so that the information will be reaching them 7 to 10 days prior to the start of their respective season. So we'll segment this group by West River tag holders, Black Hills, et cetera, et cetera. So when they receive the information, it's pertinent to them. They'll be starting to plan their hunt and thinking about this process. Chad mentioned the letter that will also be going out to all firearm license holders in those priority surveillance areas. Next bullet, please. And I think I've got, news releases. We will continue to send out news releases ahead of the season openers. We know that we will see a spike in web views along with the timeline, as the timeline goes on and seasons approach. So we'll increase this other communication with those key dates. And I've got an image coming up here too, Chris. Yes, and one more click to get our bullets up there. There we go. This is one of the social media posts that will be going out. And we are working with Lawrence and Schiller, an ad company, to specifically target these social media messages. And they estimate that we will achieve a reach of nearly 2 million people. I was updated just this morning that these Facebook and social media, other social media platforms, including Instagram, these will actually launch later today. So we've got all that in place. And you can see this social media image here. This is also what our postcard is going to look like. So we're providing that consistent information for folks so that will make a connection in their brain. Like, hey, I've seen this before. Continue educating myself on this topic. So those are some of the things we've got in place. And if anyone has questions, I would certainly try to answer them.
Questions, comments, Mr. Spring.
On the overall amount of deer and elk that were killed, and are not as much killed, but do you know of all the licenses, what percentage did come back positive on that?
Through the chair, Mr. Spring, I was having a little hard time hearing you, but I think your question was, what was the proportion of the overall harvest that came back with a positive test result? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we probably have those numbers. I don't have them right in front of me, Commissioner Spring, but I would say it would be quite low when you compare it to total harvest. In fact, if I had to put a number on it, it would probably be probably less than 1%, probably less than that, Commissioner Spring.
Any other questions, comments? So, thank you, Chad, John. So, we'll do.